Yeah, the worship this morning was good, right? I just felt like there was such a presence of the Lord there. Crystal, Richard, you guys, Elta, doing a great job up there. Jaira, just really, really awesome. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so glad I can worship next to a good-looking person like you. Awesome, awesome. Well, if that was awkward for a few of you, I apologize. If that helped a couple of you, especially the younger ones, you're welcome. Always glad to have fun in the house of God. But before we go any further, guys, I want to start with the most important thing. Who knows what the most important thing is? Prayer is awesome, but I think the most important thing is God's Word. No, God's Word, it says that the Word became flesh in Jesus. So the Word is synonymous with Jesus, with God. So let's dive into the Word of God for today. For those of you following along on your devices or your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from 2 Samuel 24, 17 to 25 in the New King James. Then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, "Surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house." And Gad, just for context, Gad was a personal prophet of King David. So Gad comes and says, Gad came that day to David and said to him, "Go up, erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite." So David, according to the word of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. Now Arauna looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So Arauna went and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Then Arauna said, "What has my lord the king come to his servant? Why has the Lord come to his servant?" Sorry. And David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people." Now Arauna said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing implements and yokes of the oxen for food." So Arauna, David's coming to buy the threshing floor at the word of the Lord. And then Arauna is saying, "No, mate, don't buy it from me. You can just have it." Then look at David's response. After Arauna says, "All these, O king, Arauna has given to the king." And Arauna said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." Let's look at David's response. Then the king said to Arauna, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. All right, now let's get into the second most important thing. Let's pray, hey? Father God, thank you for your word given to us this morning. Open our eyes to see new perspectives. Touch our hearts with your heart. Let us learn from the generosity of David and Arauna. Help us to serve you in your house. Use us all as tools to bring freedom to the people around us. Use us as a legacy, use us as tools to establish your legacy in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So good. Before I go any further, I just want to also show you guys a couple of pictures. Now that we're going into the building program month, Conan, if I can get up, there's a couple of pictures of just random people renovating during the renovations. Are they there? Yeah, sweet. So just stay on each one for a bit, then I'll just ask you for the next one. So this one here, we can see Mr. Michael Ripamondi. Woo! Yeah, give him a bit of a... We can see my good friend Robert. Guys, keep Robert in your prayers. He's in hospital at the moment. And Richard Sinek has also had a surgical procedure. Remember to pray for people when they're in hospital. And then John. And some of you guys are probably like, who's John? Don't recognize that guy. Is he like some kind of contractor? But let me tell you a little bit about John. John is an amazing man. He's a volunteer at Fremantle. He's gone through an amazing transformation. He gave his life to the Lord at C3 Fremantle, and I had the privilege of baptizing him, which was just amazing. He's a wonderful man. God's really doing a work in his life. And at the time when this building was going on, he had a lot of free time. And him and I would drive down from Fremantle during the week. And him and I, man, we put so much white on the walls. It was ridiculous. But more so him. And he painted all these members above us here were a red oxide, brownish color, all these poles above us. And now he went and he painted those all the black color that you see, and also in the kids zone next door. He did heaps of stuff, as a lot of other people did. But I just want to highlight him because he's from Fremantle. He doesn't even see the benefit week in and week out of what he did, the time he gave up. He could have been working somewhere or got a cafe job, but he decided, nah, Baz, I'm going to come with you and come help build the house of God. And Conan, if we can get the next one up, please, mate. So this is Josh. For those of you who don't know Josh, he's MC'd here once before, or not MC'd, he did the tithe message or the communion message recently. But again, Josh is from C3 Fremantle, and he had a day off in between all his uni stuff, and he came down and he helped me to, this was the roof that was at the front of the building, and it was really nasty and terrible, that little bit as you walk in. And so we took all that down, and we were thinking of replacing it with new roof sheets, but we kind of ran out of budget. So then we were like, oh, let's just give it a good clean and put them back up there. So he was helping me with that and a couple of other things. You can get the next picture up, please, Conan. So here's a couple. You'll see a bunch of Wellard people here. We've got the wonderful Damien, Chris, Richard. We got Kristen and Kieran and all these familiar faces. But then I just draw your attention to the left-hand side. We got Greg Moore and his son, Wesley, who Greg owns a building company. Wesley's a building contractor. Greg did most of the designs and all the planning that went into this. He also replaced most of the roof sheets that we had along one section of the wall that was rusting at his own cost. He didn't charge us for the labor. These are Fremantle people, but they're kingdom-minded. Their vision is one church, two locations. How can I help the other location? And then there's one more picture that I just want to get up as well. So this is Fremantle, for those of you who haven't been there. And Fremantle, at the beginning of last year, for their building fund, their heart's desire was to break out this area, which is in their like foyer. And they want to eventually break that out and make like a kids play area for the kids to hang out after service. And so what we did was, in faith, we took a bunch of sledgehammers and stuff and we knocked holes through the wall there. And then it pretty much stayed like that for the rest of the year. And I don't know if any of you know why, but the reason was we were planning to put that beam in and get it all glass doors and get it all finished. But this building came up for sale. And the people there said, nah, we'll put our building plans on hold for location number two. This deal is too good to pass up. And so the people at Frio, like, we are still going to finish that. We're in the process of getting that a bit, getting that done. But it's a one choice, two locations. But I want to show you that sometimes we have to help them. Sometimes they have to help us. But we're all building the same kingdom, bringing light and life to the communities, to get people into church, serving God, getting their lives, their marriages transformed. And it's like a symbiotic thing. It's like, I might give to the building fund this year and it will go to Wellard, and next year it will go to Fremantle. But at the end of the day, it's all being used to build the kingdom of God. So I just wanted to just go through that. Thanks for the slides, Conan. Just like, sometimes we don't need to get so caught up in the, oh, where exactly is that going? I'm giving to Wellard. Why am I not seeing this happen? Sometimes it's just like, hey, I'm just going to give, trusting that the people who are, you know, in charge of the church board and stuff like that, that they're going to make the right decisions with that. Because one more thing on that is, Rio have a really big mortgage on their building in Fremantle. They paid off more than half of it, But they decided when this building came up for purchase that they were going to increase their mortgage by a total of $420,000. So $350,000 went to purchasing this facility, and then another $70,000 was taken out on a redraw facility. So what that meant for them and for us, because we all together, is that instead of them paying on average about $7,000 a month towards interest payments on that loan, it's gone up to now between $8,000 and $9,000 depending on the length of the month. So the Frio guys are like, we're going to do that. We're gonna pay towards that to help take new ground, to see a new area get established, to see the city of Kwinana getting the word preached, getting people coming in, lives set free, transformed. So it's all just like we help each other, you know. So that's what we want to get involved in. Next week I'm going to talk more about specifics, but my heart is Frio's really helped us to get what we have here, and we got to kind of help them finish what they put on hold for us as well. So yeah, that's where my heart is. Anyway, church, my message this morning is titled Freedom in Sacrifice. A lot of people get scared of that word sacrifice. But let me focus more on the freedom. So freedom for you, me, generations to come. If you and I are willing to sacrifice right now, we will see God's freedom in the long term for ourselves, but also for the community around us. Now, I'm going to return to the story that we just read and just give a brief summary. So we've got an angel who's striking the people as punishment. Then we've got a king who's told by a prophet to build an altar on some random guy's threshing floor. Now, a threshing floor is like an agricultural place where people grind grain with different things, animals like oxen, donkeys, and cattle and stuff like that. So the reason why I chose this as a background for my slide this morning is that's what a threshing floor looked like back in the day. And people would build this up on hills and stuff, and then they put grain and wheat and stuff in there because they didn't have like crushing implements and stuff. And then they'd get the cattle and the donkeys and stuff to go round and round and round and mash up all the grain. And then from there, they would make it into flour and bread and stuff like that. So anyway, the prophet tells the king, go and buy this dude's threshing floor. And David's probably like, oh, okay, bit random buying a threshing floor. And then we see this random guy, Aruna. He tries to be generous to the king. He says, nah, mate, I'll just give it to you. But then that generous king refuses the guy's generosity because he wants to make a sacrifice. And then at the end of it, after he has made a sacrifice, God accepts that sacrifice, forgives his people, and sets them free from the oppression of the plague. So there was a sacrifice made, and then there was freedom from the oppression. So it all seems a bit all over the place, but I'm going to break it down for you. By the end of this morning, I know God will speak to you through this passage. Even though right now you're probably like, what has all of this got to do with me? Seems a bit random. Well, this year we are believing it's the year of freedom. Right now this year we believe people will be set free from sickness, from disease, from financial burdens, from oppression, from having broken hearts. People here today who are dealing with some really tough stuff. And let me tell you right now, there is freedom for the brokenhearted. And that's amazing. Freedom for right now. God wants to use each and every one of us in unique ways to bring freedom to others. I spoke earlier this year about how we can share that freedom with other people. However, I want to talk today about leaving a legacy of freedom behind. Even after this year, and even when we're no longer around on this earth, we can leave a legacy of freedom. God's house, the church, this building right here, is a haven of freedom. It's a beacon of hope. It's a lighthouse of liberty to this community. It's a place where we can see lives and actually the nation transform. By together building this house, we can make sure that the freedom will last long after this year has come to an end. As we're leading up to this Our Story, Our Future miracle offering, I think it's appropriate to talk about this legacy. The legacy of leaving freedom behind for this city for a long time to come. By getting involved and consistently giving to build this facility, we'll see freedom extend to countless more people that could never have hoped to ever in their lifetime. Like, here's the thing is, like, how many people do you think you can talk to about Jesus in your lifetime? Maybe a couple thousand? maybe a couple, maybe 10,000. I don't know if you're really bold. I mean, that's probably, yeah, 10,000. That's hectic. Probably get arrested or something if it did that. But the thing is how many people could hear the gospel by going and just randomly walking into C3 Fremantle every day, you know? And in a year, a couple hundred people. In 2 years, you know, maybe they'd reach 1,000 people after 3-4 years. Who knows? But how many more people can we reach now that we're in two locations? How many more people can we reach, you know? And even once we're no longer here, like people in 100 years' time could look back and say, I'm so glad for Reese. I'm so glad for Ethel. I'm so glad for Taylor. I'm glad for Michael. I'm glad for Conan, for Chris. All these guys sacrificed to give us more freedom. Now we have an awesome church building because of these guys back in the day who thought that they put God first and they put their money second. You know, if you don't think God's concerned about taking ground on earth or that he doesn't care about the significance of certain places and people, our journey this morning will show you otherwise. And God is very concerned, church, but here in Wellard. He's concerned about taking ground and having a place for us as worshipers to gather. The first bit of amazing information I want to place in front of you right now is that the location of this threshing floor that we've just read about in our key text is none other than Mount Moriah. Come on, guys. Mount Moriah. Come on, man. It's Mount Moriah. Reese, don't you know the significance of Mount Moriah, bro? Mount Moriah, awesome. Hey, like that just clicked for me. No? No one know about Mount Moriah? Well, I didn't know about Mount Moriah either. Like, to be honest, like 2 weeks ago, I was like, Mount Moriah, okay, whatever. It's just another place, one of those names that's hard to pronounce, like Aruna and all these other weird things. I almost call this message the three Mount Moriah moments. Or I was tossing up with encounters on Mount Moriah. But instead, I think freedom and sacrifice is more appropriate. So, Mount Moriah, you don't think much of it? Well, this, I want to draw your attention to Genesis 22, verse 2 in the NIV. The first time we see a mountain in Moriah mentioned in Scripture is here. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. So this is God speaking to Abraham, who was a faithful servant of his. Yeah, he messed up a few times, but that's what makes people human and relatable, I guess. But in this instance, God said to him, take your only son, the thing you love, and go and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah as a burnt offering. So there we see that sacrifice thing again. And that must have been hard. For those of you who don't know, I'm not going to jump into the story. But at the end of the story, God actually, when Abraham's at that point where he's about to kill his son in faith, believing that somehow God's going to use this for good, God stops him and there's a ram in the thicket and they decide to sacrifice the ram instead of his son. But God saw that Abraham's heart was such that he trusted God so much that even his most precious thing in life, he was willing to lay down for his God because he trusts in him. I want to call this first sacrifice a sacrifice of faith. Sometimes we just have to trust God when he speaks to us to talk to certain people or do certain things that seem foolish and make a massive sacrifice. Sometimes we just have to trust him that there's a reason behind it and that he is going to bring freedom from making that sacrifice. The cool thing about this sacrifice is that afterward, Abraham had a new level of trust and freedom with his God that like, listen to this. In Genesis 22, 17 to 18, this is what God did after Abraham showed himself to be faithful. Let's read this. So, God says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. 18 says, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Pretty cool that he makes one sacrifice for God, trusts him. And because of that, not only all his generations, but it says, all the nations on earth will be blessed because you've obeyed me. There was a sacrifice, and then God brought some freedom, a sacrifice of obedience.
Now, the second sacrifice is the one that we read in our key text with David and Aruna and Gad and all those blokes. So I like to call that second sacrifice on Mount Moriah a sacrifice to own land. Let's get back to the key verse in 2 Samuel 24:24. Says this. But the king replied to Aruna, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. Interesting. A sacrifice is letting go of something valuable to obtain something else that you value more. Adam Clark was a famous Bible commentator from the 1800s, and he observed of this specific passage this. Listen to this. "He who has a religion that costs him nothing has a religion that is worth nothing." Church, let me encourage you today. When was the last time believing in Jesus cost you something? When was the last time someone poked fun at you for believing what you do? Oh, you one of them Bible bashers. You one of those Jesus freak people. Oh, I don't have time for you guys. You know, and the media just paints Christians in such a bad light. I mean, from Big Bang Theory to Suits to you name it, like Christians are just not good people. They, you know, and it's that kind of thing where if your religion costs you nothing, then that religion's probably worth nothing. And I think it's kind of cool that as Christians, we're one of the most persecuted religions out there. People aren't happy with us, but it's costing us something to believe what we believe, and we're having to sacrifice. There's so much easier ways we could go about life, but through that sacrifice, Jesus is going to bring freedom to our families and to many people after us. In 1 Chronicles 21:25, I just want to bring to attention this, that it didn't only cost David 50 shekels of silver for the threshing floor, because David bought the threshing floor and then he thought, nah, what I'm going to do, I'm going to buy the entire land around the threshing floor. So David paid Arunah 600 shekels of gold for the site. So, yeah, shekels. Who works in shekels these days? I haven't seen what they're trading like on the stock market at the moment. I wonder what Karina would say if I try to buy a coffee from her for a shekel of gold. I'll probably get more than a coffee for a shekel of gold. I don't think Karina's accepting shekels. She might accept Bitcoin or Ethereum, but definitely not shekels. But anyway, so I wasn't familiar with how much is 600 shekels. Like, David bought this land for 600 shekels, and you're like, is that a lot? Is that a little bit? Well, this equates to 6.9 kgs of gold. At the current price of 59,800 Australian dollars for a kg, this would equate to about 415,000 Australian dollars today. So it wasn't a nothing. So David made a big sacrifice to own the farming land where the threshing floor was located. You know, in the same way, I mean, if you're familiar with all the different love languages and all that nonsense, I like to show my love to people sometimes by buying them stuff or by being generous. And I bought Michelle a really awesome ring when we first got married, to propose to her. But I thought, you know, I looked at my meager salary and what I was going to spend and buy a ring, and I wanted it to be a sacrifice, but I also wanted to get like bang for my buck, the most that I could for that money. And sort of I looked at the little bit of money that I had to spend on a ring that I like saved up for quite a few paychecks, and I was like, I'm going to make a sacrifice because I love her so much. Then I thought, no, surely there's got to be, because I went into a couple of jewelry stores and I was like, man, she's probably going to say no if she sees that one. So I jumped online. I saw a lot of this advertising, probably because I was searching for rings and stuff online. I started getting all these online advertisers. I stumbled across an online advertiser called James Allen. And James Allen is based in New York. And it's quite crazy. They've got these really cool photography and stuff. And they've got all these different diamonds. And they've been filmed with a 360-degree camera. So you can go and zoom into the diamond and see how much it sparkles. And you can read about the cut and the clarity and the light reflecting index and all these different things. And you get all these crazy settings and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, maybe I can get something that it's still the same financial sacrifice for me, but I could get something special that's unique for her that tells her I went to a lot of effort to find out about all this random stuff and researched it and probably never used that ever again in my life, but she's worth it, you know? And so it cost me a lot of money to show her that she was special. It cost me time to show her she's worth it. I made a sacrifice, but because of that sacrifice that Michelle wears on her hand every day, she's reassured of our relationship. There's a new freedom in our relationship. There's a new trust in our relationship that comes because I've made that sacrifice. She knows that we're good because she's worth that time, that effort, and that sacrifice. In the same way, David recognized that he needed to show his love and honor for God by sacrificing finances to purchase the ground. He sacrificed animals, which are also a representation of wealth, and he sacrificed gold and silver to purchase the land for ongoing worship of the Lord. So let's start talking about legacy now. So Abraham sacrificed and was blessed on Mount Moriah. David, a descendant of Abraham, sacrificed and was delivered from oppression on Mount Moriah from that angel. So he purchased the land. But then look at this, and this is what I really want you guys to lean into. Because David owned the land, it allowed his son Solomon to make the sacrifice and build a permanent place of worship on this same mountain. This temple would serve as a way for many generations of Jewish people to be given freedom and forgiveness from sin, although not permanently. Jesus was the one who came to give the permanent forgiveness.
But many people experienced this freedom in the temple nonetheless because David's son Solomon made a sacrifice to build. And now you guys might be thinking, it just said that Abraham sacrificed on a mountain near Moriah. How do you know it's actually the Mount Moriah? Well, let me take you to 2 Chronicles 3:1. Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, where? On Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. It was on the threshing floor of Arnah the Jebusite, the place provided by David. That's a cool legacy. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't look at a threshing floor the same way again. You know, if I see something like that, I'm going to be like, man, legacy, you know, sacrifice. God used the same place three times for Abraham, for David, and for Solomon to make sacrifice and bring different levels of blessing and freedom to his people. Solomon made a sacrifice to build, but there was one final sacrifice of freedom that took place in the land of Moriah. But it wasn't on Mount Moriah. This one I like to call a sacrifice for eternity. Most of you guys know this, but I like to highlight Jesus. He made a sacrifice for eternity. That's my last and final point today, Ted. This is when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came to earth, he died on the cross to take all our sins and forgive us for all the sins we've ever committed. Jesus paid the ultimate price for all eternity for you and me, purchasing freedom. We can live a life of freedom because of what Jesus did. Jesus, however, didn't die on Mount Moriah, because you're probably thinking, like I said at the beginning, three Mount Moriah moments. This wasn't typically a Mount Moriah moment because the temple was already built on Mount Moriah. But Jesus was crucified on a hill very close to Mount Moriah. You know, if you go to ever take a trip to the Holy Land, you can see how close they are. And so this was not a sacrifice on Mount Moriah, but it was still in the land of Moriah. And so what can we take away from all this? What can we as a church take away from all this? If I could get Richard and the Muses up again, Crystal and all of you guys, that'd be great. Do we need to build a church on Mount Moriah and worship there? Because it seems like that Mount Moriah place is pretty special. Well, when Jesus was asked a similar question by the Samaritan woman at the well, let's see what he says. So this is my last scripture for this morning, church. John 4:19-24 in the NIV. Sir, The woman said, I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where you must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Now listen to this beautiful piece here that Jesus says. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. So the Spirit of the Lord is now upon all of us as believers in Jesus to worship him in spirit and in truth. The location is no longer the end of the journey. It's no longer the end of the journey, but a means to an end. God has put us in this wonderful country, in the wonderful cities that we're currently in, for the purpose of spreading his freedom to our surrounding communities. We can do this by sacrificing our time, by sacrificing our efforts, our finances, our talents, our gifts, to build each other up and strengthen the church for generations to come. This church serves as a place of healing every week, a place of worship, a haven of safety for brokenhearted people, a place where people can hear good news, a place where they can be encouraged, where they can be lifted out of their circumstances, where they can learn about God, where they can have their spiritual eyes opened. Next week, I'll be sharing on some of the things that we'd like to do to improve this place, but also how we can make room for more. By building the church, we are facilitating a place of healing and a place of safety, a place where captives can be set free. We also believe that this year we want to try and start paying down our debts to give the generations after us a greater level of freedom, just like David did for Solomon. It was because David had made that sacrifice to build land that Solomon was able to build. It's because the people at Creo decided to sacrifice by increasing their mortgage that we were able to build C.P. Wellard. And because once C.P. Wellard and C.P. Fremantle get to a place of health and growth, we can then start a next one and the next one and take Jesus into this wonderful city. As you think about church, I'll just turn your attention to this. As you think about what you'd like to contribute to our building fund for the next 12 months and God's house for the next year, let me assure you that any sacrifice you make will contribute to a greater level of freedom for his church. Whether the money is used to reduce the mortgage and thereby see the church set free from poverty, or if it's used to improve facilities like getting aircon for the kids or more chairs, we might soon have more people in here than we have chairs for, and then we have good problems of having to get more seats. You know, that's the kind of stuff I'm believing for, is that maybe we'll have to go to two services at that stage where you serve one and you soak the other because we just can't fit everyone in the building. Who knows? Like, we're believing for big things. We're believing for more and more people to come to the knowledge of Jesus. But let me encourage you, there is freedom in sacrifice. If you sacrifice and think about what you can give and what you can give up to see God's house flourish, there is freedom in sacrifice. God will be faithful to give you freedom here. But also, he will use this place to give freedom for those who come after us, who worship God in this place for generations to come. Let's leave a legacy here, church. Let's rise up together and bring a greater level of freedom to the city of Kwinana. Let's make sure the enemy won't be able to take this ground back. How sad would that be? Man, we couldn't afford to be here, and the church had to get, you know, turned into, I don't know, what are they turning churches into these days? Coffee shops and stuff like that. There was one down south I went to recently. It was a really cool chapel thing and inside the coffee shop. And I was like, that's sad. That's like people couldn't sacrifice to keep the church going. Let's leave a brighter future for generations to come, for the next generation. Let's make sure that we have an awesome church facility here for the whole community who enjoy church. Let me just ask you, take this home with you. Think about next week what you can contribute. And as you do so, let me just say to you, you guys are blessed. And thank you so much for even considering it. Like, I know things are tough. I know it's not the best financial climate. I know it's like lots of people are leaving the country, going over east, whatever. You can always turn to the negative. You can always turn to what people and rumors are saying. But let's rise above that. Let's say we're believing that it's going to be good things that God has in store for us. Let's rise up. Let's say, God, take us to that next level. We want to see growth. We want to see salvation. We want to see redemption. So bless you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to what I have to say. If I can get you guys all to be upstanding, that'd be great. We're now at the end of our service. We're going to sing another song together. But just there's a couple of people in our church who are in hospital. There's a couple of people in our church who are struggling, whether in their marriages or in other relationships. And if you're here today and you feel like, I need prayer, I need someone to come alongside me and help me with what I'm struggling, what I'm going through, please, guys, as we sing this final song, just come up front, stand in the altar. The presence of the Holy Spirit is here. I want to pray for you. We want to see you have a good week, have a good future. And as we sing this final song together, just come forward. Bless you guys. Hope you have a great week.